Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to which we can say, Amen. Today we get to celebrate Leah. He was kind of a Leah man. No, good guy. He was in Germany, mid-19th century. We have all our modern deaconesses from him. All of you studying for that, good. I think in many ways we also have the Fort Wayne Seminary because of him, because the Leah men came to America and were commanded to get more training. And so one of the reasons Fort Wayne got set up as a more or less practical seminary, as opposed to a theological seminary here, that's no longer true, but that's the way it was then. Was to help facilitate that training of the Leah men who were here with very minimal training, maybe a couple of practical theology courses, and they came over and did the work of the gospel, a lot of them in Michigan, Indiana, and other parts of Synod that are not Missouri at the beginning. So it's a nice day to celebrate that. Now, I want to make a brief comment about this text. Sometimes you have texts that are easy to preach on. You know, they have a lot of nice law and gospel right there laid out in front of you. This text basically says, be a good pastor. If you're an elder, this text is to you. So, in a certain sense, the text is not that great for congregational preaching, right? Because not everybody in a congregation would be an elder. And it's also difficult because it doesn't really have any law or gospel handles. It just tells you how to develop and live a good life as an elder, which is a good thing too. Well, I mean, if you think about it, this text then is a text that is ideally geared for chapel at a place where we train people how to be pastors, deaconesses, and other church workers. So that works here. But and for anybody listening out there, it may not work for your local congregation all that well. Here we must understand and not miss out on the first few words of the text. To the elders among you, which limits the scope of this text to people who have not recently become Christians but are mature in the faith. So here we have the spiritual maturity on the part of the hearers. These are things that are being said by Peter, not to those who are sort of ordinary Christians, but to those who are aspiring to something more. And maybe ordinary Christians would listen too, because they also might aspire. These are people who also testify to and know about Christ's sufferings and death, at least from hearing about it, and are ready to give their lives for Christ. I think in Peter's day, it did not simply mean laying down your life as a career, but in Peter's day, it more literally meant laying down your life as a martyr. They know both the cross and the resurrection. They also know their sinful estate, their need for a Lord and Savior. Peter the fisherman lays out what it is to be a shepherd for Christ, what it is to give one's life in ministry in Christ's name. And that is germane to we who minister, we who will minister, and also those who support those who do and will minister in Christ Jesus. So family members, staff who work here, and other people like that. As leaders, these people understand the content of the gospel already, that Jesus Christ has died to save us from sin, death, and the devil, and that we receive Christ and Him crucified as both our Lord and Savior. Through the preached word, the reading of the scriptures, the sacraments, and the fellowship and counsel of our brothers and sisters in Christ, They both know their own inadequacy and their salvation through Christ, who has given them new life, and in this case, a ministry to be called elders. Peter then lays out criteria that it would be wise to pay attention to as elders in the church. These would fall under the Christian category of holy counsel. He makes several contrasts that allow us to see what kind of leaders we might be if we are on an appropriate path to sanctification in our lives. And I know sanctification can be used two different ways. A lot of people like to think of sanctification as being complete when you're justified, and then sort of just peeled away all the layers and you get to see more and more of what is already done. That's a very Lutheran way to view it. But there is also a results way of viewing sanctification, in which we simply talk about the fact the person appears to be growing in Christ Jesus. It is that second way, I think, that is meant here. First, we are to be shepherds, not because we must, but because we are willing. I think this brings some law to us. Now, I'm going to ask the students personally to think about this. How many of you rejoiced over your latest examination in class? I mean, did you say, "Wow, this is not a tough exam. I am willing. I am joyful. Let's do it." Or was it more like, "Oh, I studied all night. I hope I get through it." I got to say, there are a lot of times in my own ministry, I think probably in your ministry too, when we fall into the second category, another thing that has to be done. But I think when we have that way of thinking about things, we need to think about the law and how the law comes to us and says to us, you know, there's the mere servant, and then there's the person who's the underlord, the person who has been given lordship under Christ and views their task as something to be joyfully pursued. It is easy in ministry to develop a kind of tunnel vision that focuses on the negatives, the problems. Peter would have us re-examine why we are doing what we are doing and repent, asking for forgiveness. If we are only doing our duty, Christ's work can also be joyful and fulfilling, but only when we bring to him our lives and the distractions that so easily entangle us and reaffirm our willingness to serve. In addition, Peter mentions that God wants us to be these kinds of willing servants. Second, Peter discourages pursuing dishonest gain, but encourages this willingness to serve again. It is true that we all need resources to get by in life, and money is just one way of getting at these things. In Leah's day, they got a lot of quid pro quo, you know. You preach the gospel and I'll give you salt pork for the winter. But obsession with money or other things in this life can make for a joyless ministry. It can turn into a kind of empty, mercenary service that is the distraction instead of the core thing we do, rather than a glad sacrifice for a Savior who has done so much for us. This can get in the way of our eager service. It can spoil our zeal for the Lord. Again, a lot of law. Third, Peter warns about becoming lords in the church. He does not want us to lord it over other people, but would rather have us be examples of what life in Christ should look like. Again, this involves repenting. Again, this involves looking at our lives, seeing what's there that's toxic. After all, Jesus came and served, and he would have us do the same. He bent down and washed feet. And this service, while it does nothing to save us, does create a joy and peace within us and also in others we might meet. And here is love that people may notice and ask, why are you this way? What's different about you? Where do you get your strength? Or other such questions. These may lead them into a conversation about the most important servant of all and the most important service of all. Now, some people out there are going to comment, Dose, that's a lot of law. Of course it is. But you know, we are friends of the law as Christians. The law is our friend. There's nothing wrong with the law. It doesn't save us, but it does teach us good things to do. And yes, you as elders in the church know what those elders knew, that Jesus Christ is the only one who empowers and enables ministry. He is the only one who forgives and loves and changes your hearts and minds and lives in Christ Jesus. He is the only good news that is real good news. Finally, there is some good news, but not the good news of the cross, not the good news of the resurrection, not the good news of Christmas, not the kind of good news we're used to. Here is the good news of the return of Christ in glory and what he brings to us as believers who faithfully strive and serve and patiently wait. Here we find a crown of glory that awaits us in heaven, where God will call out to his own and to declare to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This also is good news. Good news that this is not all there is and that better awaits us. A good news that gives us hope. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.